Balmoral Room, New GTLD Stories Panel. London 50.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to New GTLD Stories Panel. My name is Cyrus Namazi. I'm actually a member of ICANN's staff. A lot of people came up to me and asked me what the story is with the Stories Panel. What's the idea behind it? My thinking was that historically, most of the ICANN sessions in ICANN conferences have focused on policy matters, operational matters, contractual matters, justifiably so because of the phase, primarily because of the phase of the new GTLD program that we've been on. But that with 300 plus new GTLDs already in various stages of availability to in general market having been delegated, I figured it might be a good idea for us to take a look ahead. Meaning, you know, there's profound changes coming into the DNS by having moved from basically 22 generic top-level domains to hundreds and hundreds within the next few months. And surely this is going to have a profound impact on how people see the internet, how they use it. But to me at least, and I think to a lot of other people, it's still a bit fuzzy how all of this is going to unfold. How is it going to change the way we access information? How is it going to affect the average registrant, average user of the internet? So I somewhat randomly selected a panel to participate in the session today, representative of, I think, various views and visions and business plans behind their particular TLDs. My objective today is to really get a lively discussion going, engaging all of you, so that it's a bit clearer for all of us, you know, how all of this is going to look like 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So how we're going to conduct this today is that my panelists are going to introduce themselves. They're going to say a few words or have a short presentation to make, all of which I hope will take collectively about 30 minutes or so, and then we'll have ample time to, again, engage in a lively discussion. There are microphones on both sides when we open it up for engagement with the with you as participants. Please step up to it, and we go from there. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it off to Sophie. And oh, by the way, actually, my esteemed colleagues in ICANN's legal department reminded me to tell you that The participation of the panelists up here is by no means an endorsement by ICANN of their particular TLDs or their company. And in fact, there's a whole page of stuff written here for me to say, which I'm not going to say. But please don't take this as an endorsement of any kind by ICANN. I just thought the discussion would be beneficial for all of us. Thank you. So Sophie, please.
Yes. Thank you, Cyrus, for the helpful introduction to get us started. My name is So Fan, and people usually call me Sophia as well. To be honest, I prefer Sophia better because in Chinese, So actually means big and huge. and it's my pleasure to be here in London and participate in a new GTLD story panel with you. I'm currently working for KNET and responsible for the new GTLD product and service in general within KNET. For those who are not very familiar with KNET, KNET is one of the largest new GTLD service provider in Asia Pacific. Currently, we are the backend registry operator for more than 20 TLDs, and soon we will be the registry operator for .wangzhi, which means the .url in Chinese. So as we all may know, there are more than 300 TLDs already dedicated, and more than 200 TLDs are launched till now. And as for KNET, there are 10 TLDs that we are hosting were contracted and delegated by ICOM, including 4 ASCII TLDs and 6 IDN Chinese TLDs. And among those, 5 TLDs already launched during the last couple of months. Based on what I have seen and work already with the registry, registrar, and other parties involved in the domain industry, there are some trends that I have seen. Maybe for the next slide, please. Yes. Based on what I have seen, I'm glad to see that TLD, which are mainly focusing in Chinese-speaking markets, are increasing. And we have forecasting a huge potential for the ASCII pinyin TLDs and IDN TLDs. And for those who are not familiar with what pinyin is, here is a wiki. Pinyin is the, that's what I do the Wikipedia. The pinyin is the official phonemic system for transcribing the Mandarin pronunciations of Chinese character into Latin alphabets in China. So, forgot what that means. I'm glad to see that there's a huge potential for those pinyin TLDs and IDN scale TLDs, including Chinese, in the domain market. And together with the TLDs, that's launched, there are more concrete new applications and more creative marketing approaches appear, which will lead to a more detailed market segmentations based on geographic diversities and differentiation, differentiated consumer interest. And so to the registries who are launching their TLDs and how to prioritize and utilize the existing channel powers with the domain sales and differentiate themselves from the others became the very biggest challenge and task force for every new GTLD that's launched. Next slide, please. I don't think that's the correct one. Oh, okay. So there might be something around there. So yeah, sure. So what I have said just now for the how to utilize the existing channel power, there are some examples. For example, the TLD we're going to launch, which is .ren, that in Chinese pinyin it means person. The registry who supplies it is also a service provider for SNN social network in China. So every Chinese knows that it's probably equal to the Facebook in China. So what they're going to do is also when they launch the .ren, they will utilize their existing channel power and existing social network service users bundle it with other services, products, and push it into the market. So this is one of the examples that that will be creative marketing approach besides the traditional marketing channels that we have seen before in domain markets. And I would like to talk something about the challenges I might see faced by the new GTLD registries. First of all, it's the universal TLD acceptance issue. That's everybody is familiar with that. The browsers and applications are not always compatible with the new GTLD, and that could cause the issue for the market acceptance and at the moment, and also influence much more the consumer behaviors in the future. And second of all, some of our marketing strategies and activities are very constrained by the uncertainty of icon policies. I'm not going to the details of it, but just name it, name collision issues, two-character domain names, and ID and variance policies. All of this are putting some constraints and when we design the market strategies, and that's something we need to really look into with icons and also with the community be able to actually helping the registry to be more successful in the future. And the last but not least, the market complexity and competitions, what I'm seeing in the Chinese market and also the broader spectrum in the APAC markets, are putting a lot of pressures in the new GTLD registries. First, of course, the expansion of namespace will stimulate the market demands. That's what I believe. But how to achieve the first or continuous market recognitions in the market for the new GTLD, I think that's the key for the future success. That's what I would like to also discuss with all of you today, and we hope we can have more ideas about that. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Sophia. Next is Dirk, please.
My name is Dirk Krzyżanowski. I'm a founder and CEO of .dot Berlin, the top-level domain name for the city of Berlin and all Berliners. And I think many people know me from a long time ago when we started with lobbying for new top-level domain names. That was in the year 2004 and 2005, and we finally got a decision, or the program started with a policy development process in 2005. And from that year on until this year, we had a hard time with many ups and downs, like other TLD applicants had also. But finally, we launched our Berlin top-level domain name this year. So that's nearly 10 years after starting to go to ICANN and talk about the new extensions. And we have 140,000 names registered, and it's a big success. It's very well accepted in our community and also beyond the community. And what you see on the slide are the most, at our launch event, the most important stakeholders here and multiplicators. We have the city government, they have Rotes Rathaus, .dot Berlin. We have the Bitkom, one of the largest IT associations in Europe, and the German one. We have Handwerk, which means craftsmen, .dot Berlin, and we have Shirin visiting our launch event. Thank you, Shirin, again for that. And that was a great start. I just want to leave it with this slide and better to discuss things and answer questions you have later in the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dirk. Jordan?
Yeah, sorry. In the spirit of a story hour, I don't have slides. I'm going to tell some stories or just talk a little bit. And in particular, like Dirk, maybe leave some time for us to have Q&A later on. But I want to start with a story, because I think it's a little bit emblematic of the way we approach the domain name ecosystem today. A few years ago, we had the ICANN meeting in Costa Rica. And one of the interesting things I found about Costa Rica is they don't really have street addresses there. So when you would try to navigate around, you know, the restaurant would be like, oh, go on this road, like half a kilometer past the white church on your right. And then that would work. You would sort of drive around and see the white church and continue on. And eventually you'd find the restaurant you were looking for or something like that. And then sometimes if you went to a fancy tourist destination, they would actually have instead of that, they had GPS coordinates that you could plug into your GPS navigation device. But it would be like these whole long things, you know, like 36 degrees, so many minutes, point blah, blah, blah. And that got you very accurately to wherever you wanted to go. This is, in my mind, a little bit how we use the internet today. When we want to find something on the internet, we either go to a search engine and sort of type in something, and Google's a really good search engine, by the way, if anyone hasn't tried it yet. you type in, I want to find, a restaurant in London or something like that, and you get back some results, and you sort of click around, and eventually you hopefully find what you're looking for. And if you use a really good search engine like Google, then hopefully you'll get really fast to the information you're looking for. But you're intermediating through sort of searching around, looking through some story of how to get where you want to go. And the other thing that we sometimes do is we have these very precise identifiers that we sort of pass around in the form of URLs that are really often quite long and not very easy to understand. Either they're long, so you'll get like a domain name slash, you know, US, or here we're in the UK, slash UK, slash London, slash, you know, ICANN something. Or we'll get like, you know, maybe like a bit.ly address or something like that. Or a goo.google redirector, but there'll be these nice short things that aren't that long, but they're totally incomprehensible to humans because the thing after that is just a bunch of random letters. And so I think that of, going back to my Costa Rica example, the first way of searching is like being told to go, you know, oh, if you want to find this information, you go, here's how you look for it, and eventually you get there. Or you can have this inscrutable identifier that you can't really remember or carry around with you, and that's the those are the long URLs that we tend to use today, or the inscrutable URLs that we intend to use today. And when I think about the new GTLD program, I think that's the opportunity that we have in order to fundamentally reshape the way that people use the internet, so that people can get to specific pieces of information using domain names and using identifiers that have three really critical characteristics. First is that they're readable, so you can look at them as a human and you can understand what it is. Secondly, that it's memorable, so you can remember it. And so if you see it on a sign or something, or a billboard as you're passing by, or someone tells you the name, that it'll stick in your head and you'll be able to come back to it later on. And related to both of those is that it's meaningful, is that it's not just a bunch of letters or two words that sit next to each other. It happens to always end with the exact same three-letter extension, but you can somehow look at it and understand more about what you're going to than you might have before you saw the identifier. And domains can help us with this. We already do this sometimes. I'm totally picking on my employer for the moment, but we can use domain names today even to do some of this. So if you go to like google.co.uk, you will get to the UK version of the Google website. You don't have to go to google.com and then like choose a drop-down list or anything like that. Sometimes you go to other websites and you'll see that. You know, if you go, I went to buy a plane ticket on BA, and I got to their website and it's like, oh, which country are you in? Like, are you? I mean, they know I'm in the UK, but they ask me to say that, and I'm choosing English. If I happen to think that my home country was like, some faraway place like Morocco or something like that, then there's this very long drop down. I could eventually get to that version of the site, but it might be a lot easier if I could just go to BA. I've totally forgotten what the Morocco TLD is. MK? MA, thank you, that's correct. That was actually a quiz. Similarly, if you go to google.cat, that will get you to the Catalan language version of Google. And so once again, we have this identifier. We know that cat is the identifier that tells us we're looking for Catalan resources. The Google version takes you straight there. So you can get straight to the information if you want without having to go to a drop-down sort of choosing language or something. I see Ray Fast over here. If you go to google.jobs, that will take you to our place where you can learn about getting a job at Google. And so those are examples of like all of those things meet these criteria. Like you can look at those if you speak English, you can look at them and you can sort of understand that google.jobs should be a job site. You know, I know what to expect there. It's memorable. I can remember that, you know, if it's Google plus jobs, those things sort of make sense together. And meaningful, right? Like I know google.jobs is going to take me to a job site, not to like a search engine or to a page about our investor relations or something like that. It's obvious what's going to happen when I go into this thing. And so that's what I view as the power of the new TLD program. And as people probably know, Google's applied for a lot of new TLDs. And I'll add one more story here since we're doing story time. And that is, originally when we went to our CEO and proposed what we wanted to do with TLDs, we proposed that we were going to apply for four of them. We were going to apply for Google, Chrome, Android, and YouTube. So four of our big brands. You see a lot of brands out there. That's what they've done. They've applied for their brands and said, you know, this, we're going to build a presence here. And that's a totally, I think we're going to hear a little bit more about that in just a minute, so I don't need to get into too much of the detail. But Larry came back to us and said, are you guys crazy? The internet's changing. Google has to be part of that. And so we've ended up with a much broader and more ambitious program that allows us to address these needs in a variety of ways. And I'll just briefly mention, I think there's four ways that we look at as being able to change the way that people access content on the internet with new TLDs. The first is sometimes the domain name itself is an improvement, and you don't need to do much beyond that, or at least, you know, so if you look at, like, IDNs are a great example. Our first TLD that we launched is .mina, which is Japanese for everyone. And it's the first ever Japanese IDN TLD. And so now people that use the internet in Japan can go to domain names that are, like, you know, all Japanese characters. And so that improves the readability of domain names for a large set of, well, for almost everyone in Japan, hopefully. So those domains all by themselves become more readable and easier to use as a result. And similarly, there may be TLDs that, you know, like others have applied for, like a TLD like .photography. You probably know just by looking at that, you sort of know what it's about, that you don't have to do a lot more in order to create some additional meaning through it. Then the second tier is that there are some TLDs where we will make attempts to create an impression or help people understand the community around this particular TLD. So we've applied for a TLD like .soy, and I know there's also an applicant for .uno, and these are somewhat similarly targeted, but like our vision with soy is that there's a lot of people trying to market to Hispanics in the U.S., and soy means I am in Spanish. And so what if we created this opportunity for marketers to create a presence that points people directly to that Hispanic-targeted, potentially Spanish-language version of the website without having to like go to like a big brand's website and navigate around and figure out how do we get to the part of the website that's targeted for me. But in order to do that, we have to help users understand that that's what it means, and we have to have marketers join in and agree that they're going to want to promote the TLD that way. So working with anchor tenants, working with marketing campaigns becomes important in these sorts of things where you're trying to create an expectation by users about how this particular TLD works and what the meaning it conveys is. And the third way, and I think this is quite common, is that you limit who's allowed to be in it in order to add value. So there's existing TLDs like EDU and Gov and MIL. They all work this way. They say, you know, you can only register in this TLD if you are a certain type of applicant. And so people know when you go to an EDU, you're going to get to a school. When you go to the .mil site, it's going to be the U.S. military. And those can create meaning through restricting who's allowed to register in them. So then it's useful for the, you can imagine we've applied for TLDs like .cpa and .esq, where you have to have a particular type of credential. So the applicant, the registrant now can convey their credential, and then you as a consumer can go to their website and understand, even before you get there, I know there's going to be an actual certified public accountant on the other end. And I'll wrap up by talking about the last concept, which is that the last thing you can do, and I think this is perhaps the most powerful but unexplored part of the opportunity, is to add functionality to domains at the same time as thinking about how that can convey meaning. So the example I often talk about this is .blog, which we've applied for a lot with a lot of other people. But today, if you register a blog and you go to actually link your blog, like if I got jordansblog.com and I went to link it to my Blogger account, I would have to know a lot about DNS. I'd have to learn about CNAMEs, possibly. I'd have to go to my registrar and configure it. It's very hard and complicated. But our vision with .blog is when you sign up for blog, you also give us the URL for an existing blog that you have. And then we've already had discussions with platforms like Tumblr and WordPress to figure out a common set of APIs that the registry could use to call out to your existing blog, set up the name servers. You don't have to know anything except for what the URL of your blog is, and it will automatically get set up. And then the user that's navigating to that, that's useful for me when I'm setting it up, but it also means everyone that navigates to these things knows there's always going to be a blog on the other end. So that TLD becomes more useful and meaningful simultaneously. And we're thinking about the same thing with the .foo TLD, which we're targeting towards developers. And you could imagine, what if there was a TLD that's designed for developers? How would that be useful? What if I could always see the code that actually made the website run? Not just the HTML, but the code behind it. Like, could we work concepts like that into a TLD? And if so, then we start to create new experiences and new meanings for these domain names. And so that's an area we're really excited to work. There's a lot of domains still to come, and glad to talk more about this in Q&A later. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordan.
Oh, sorry, can I just mention one other thing?
Sure.
I only had, you know, I probably spoke for too long, but I only have a few minutes to chat here. Google's strategy, if people are interested, my boss, our CIO, is giving an hour-long talk about Google's TLD strategy this week at Google I.O. on Wednesday. So folks are interested, I think it's going to be live streamed, so later in the week you could go listen to someone talk for a lot longer about what we plan to do. So his name is Ben Fried, and that'll be on Wednesday at 9 p.m. here.
Thank you, Jordan.
During the gala. Can we live stream that?
Thank you very much, Jordan. So my name is David Green, and I work for a company called KPMG, one of the world's largest professional services firms with a footprint in over 152 countries. At a party, sort of, people ask, what do you do? You can go one of two ways. You can say, I work for a firm of accountants, and watch people's faces blanch and make their excuses and run away. Or you can say, I work in digital marketing, and suddenly you say, oh, that's interesting, tell me more about it. So people ask sort of KPMG, or actually give a little bit of an introduction about myself. So I work for KPMG, but also I'm a board member of the Brand Registry Group. The groups work very successfully with ICANN to achieve successes such as the Specification 13 recognition for closed brands in the ICANN contract, and other sort of initiatives around sort of standards, naming conventions, SEO, and country code identifiers, etc. And this is my second time speaking on a panel at ICANN. 2 years ago, I was invited to speak at the Reveal Day when the list of domains were unveiled. So I'm very pleased to be invited back, and thank you, Cyrus. So .kpmg, people ask me, so what are you going to do with your domain? My response is, which one? We're going to have thousands. Because KPMG did not apply for a domain name. We applied for the right to operate our own registry database at the world root of the internet. So what does that actually mean? We conducted a whole feasibility study beforehand, really looking at sort of long-term impact, legal, fiscal, opportunities for innovation, and so on. And essentially, if you sort of scroll through just all that list, you can do them all together. Those are just really in a nutshell. I don't need to sort of this particular audience really elaborate on that. But when the program first started, it was very much dominated by conversations from intellectual property lawyers around concerns around brand protection. And some of the commonly cited brand benefits were around the brand attributes, customer affiliation, ease of addressing, authentication, and so on, all of which are legitimate and very real tangible benefits. However, operating a gTLD registry as part of your internet-facing infrastructure brings with it a lot of other sort of technical and operational advantages beyond the simple addressing convention of a domain name. So if we move to the next slide, please. So there are three main categories of gTLDs. There are closed. Most of the brand applicants were closed brands, about 600 applicants and a third of all of the applications. There are restricted open, and then there are sort of true open. And each of those have very different motivations. In a sense, the open gTLDs, which typically were dominated by domain name industry actors, who essentially viewed this as this liberalization process as an expansion of the existing domain market. Yippee, we're going to be able to sell lots and lots more domain names. And, you know, the business models are very much sort of modus operandi. It's an extension of business as usual. But as we'll come on to in a minute, it's very much that's not the case. And in my mind, it is the closed brand registries who have got the most powerful incentive to drive innovation in this. So if you keep moving on, please. But everyone, regardless of their role in this process and their commercial interests, everyone will need to invest in marketing and communications to drive marketing understanding and awareness. And it's particularly encouraging to sort of hear Google talk so boldly about its plans, because some of those huge internet behemoths such as Microsoft, Yahoo, Amazon, and Google, between them have applied for quite a lot of GTLDs, and once they begin to activate those, that will make a very material difference in public awareness and consciousness of these. So next slide, please. So we're just going to briefly play a three-minute video that talks to the opportunities around GTLDs.
What is the biggest opportunity for the internet domain name industry?
Domain name industry today has a big opportunity. The most obvious one is the expansion of the generic TLD space.
And that change will be driven by probably around 50% of the world's population being online in the next 4 years, and more to come. There's the huge change from technology that's always developing, and we've got more development to come as well.
A lot of growth, a lot of innovation, exploration of new models, new business models, and new methods of using domain names that have not been seen before.
With the rise of the Internet of Things, the number of computational devices, whether phones, computers, but also ordinary household appliances, factory equipment, plant machinery, etc., that will be connected to a more intelligent semantic web will far eclipse the number of people who live on this planet.
But perhaps the most important opportunity is making that extension and expansion useful. The historical generic top-level domains were very, very general in their character.
Domain names have sort of lost a lot of their relevance to the everyman, primarily because naming is complicated, and there isn't really a good way to register names and then manage names, acquire hosting services, subsequent management. It's so much easier for, you know, consumers of the web, regular people from all walks of life, just to go to Facebook or Twitter, sign up for an account, and label their content on the web using those tools. So there's been a lot of innovation lacking in naming.
The ones that have been proposed now, the some 2,000 or so, are much more specific, and there are questions in my mind and in the minds of others as to the utility of some of those very specific choices of top-level domain.
It's the age of the empowered customer, and if you look around, you'll see that disruption is everywhere you look. Every industry, the music industry, publishing, journalism, travel, finance, phones, gadgets, auto industry, and the list goes on and on. Empowered customers have really disrupted business models across every single industry, even in those you'd least expect. So I do believe that even as great as its legacy has been, .com is not immune to the great force of disruption, that the influx of innovative .anythings and .everythings will no doubt create.
Companies from all corners of the world innovating and reimagining how names are used and put in the hands of consumers. That to me is the biggest opportunity facing names and the name industry this coming year.
Well, the biggest opportunity is perhaps not so much domain names, but domain numbers, or more accurately, domain serial numbers. With the rise of the Internet of Things, the number of computational devices, whether phones, computers, but also ordinary household appliances, factory equipment, plant machinery, etc., that will be connected to a more intelligent semantic web will far eclipse the number of people who live on this planet. So in the medium to longer term, the biggest opportunity is without a doubt working with private organizations who have secured the right to operate their own secure registry at the world root of the internet. And many of those organizations will intend to utilize that registry database. Each domain serial code is a unique number which will be used to authenticate secure access to delivery of innovative digital services or transfer of information.
So it remains to be seen how well they are used to make the internet space functionally valuable for users.
So more users online, more customers, more technology. We all need to change to respond to that. That's the opportunity.
So really you can see, listening to those speakers, that it's very much a case of not just it's an expansion of the existing domain market and selling domains, but really a lot of focus on, the, as Jordan said, the internet is changing. And a core aspect of the internet's infrastructure, these GTL registries, will be used in all sorts of innovative ways, particularly when sort of combined with other existing technologies, for example, encryption and so on. So what will that really mean? So for this industry, I would foresee a stratification of registry service providers. Cloud computing breaks down into infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service. And many of the RSPs are essentially infrastructure as a service. Some of them will continue to operate as that is. So their focus is on selling domains to the public market, and they can offer infrastructure services to brands as an extension of what they do. But others will sort of begin to move up the value chain and develop additional services which for their customers, for example, more secure social networks. So we'll see all these kind of things are on the slide here, really a diversification of the registry services market. And even existing GTLDs are going to be impacted by all of this competition, increased competition. So we really have to sharpen up operations, this increased competition, and really look at sort of all of those areas there. And the final slide. As an industry, domain industry, sort of an ICANN can seem a little bit sort of a strange to general to brands who for the first time are operating these GTLD registries. They're typically more used to just a domain name registration rather than the full complexity of operating a registry infrastructure. So they're going to be looking to both ICANN as well as the domain industry at large to really sort of help navigate these issues and sort of drive sort of the flexibility and agility that's going to come with a much broader spectrum of demands and different types of applications and uses. One thing is that it was a little bit disappointing that with the first round of liberalization, there was only one new registry services provider, namely Google. And with the second round of applications that may happen as soon as 2016, there will be thousands of brand applicants because the penny has dropped. This is not $185,000. That's a lot of money for a domain. Now people realize it's not a domain. It's a registry system, provides advantages such as increased cybersecurity, increased analytics and your customer activity, et cetera, et cetera. So there really are going to be new business models and new ways of using the DNS. You know, the key function of this program was to also enhance the utility of the DNS. And I'm very excited about what we will begin to see in the next few years. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, David. Thank you. Thanks to all of you. This was a lot of diverse information, I guess, is one way to put it. So let's go ahead and begin sort of our discussion while you digest everything that was thrown at you in the past half an hour or so. I wanted to actually circle back with Dirk and ask you to perhaps educate us a little bit on how a geographic TLD is different than what we call a generic TLD. How does it differ in the life of a citizen of a city and visitors to a city, please?
What I first can say, it's the geographic TLDs like London, Paris, Berlin, New York, and Sydney, and whatever comes up, are quite different from the GTLDs, the generic TLDs, because they are not really generic. They are more like a CCTLD from the perspective of governance, from the contract all the geographic TLDs have with their respective local authority or city authority. That's quite different from the contractual basis. And from the perspective of the citizens, for them, it's an identity. It's really an identity which a city TLD or geographical TLD can bring to them. And in my daily life, when I tell the people about the city top-level domain, they say, wow, this is possible? It's amazing, and so on. That's a great satisfaction when you talk to people on a daily basis. But for the city government or the regional government, in the case of Berlin, I see something which hasn't been done by CCTLD. CCTLD, I haven't seen that CCTLDs have been used for location marketing for the country marketing. In opposite, we have a lot of CCTLDs which to do everything to avoid that their CCTLD is associated with a country because they have so strict requirements to register them that the people go outside and register .com and .net and .tk and other domain names rather than the CCTLD. I think this is a bleeding of national identity in a digital level, and that's something which we can give the city of Berlin back, a digital identity for the citizens, which is driven by public interest and location marketing, and that location marketing is a major driver in the geographic TLDs, but because locations are in competition worldwide, Berlin with Moscow, with Sydney in the startups, with the Silicon Valley, and so they are in huge competition, and city top-level domain especially gives the cities a unique destination proposition, like a USP of the city, because in this first round we will see only a couple of major cities and metropolises that have these TLDs. In Berlin we had been in a very good position, although we had a mid-good priority number. We made it as a first city top-level domain name worldwide, offering registration to the public, and this gave a big boost also and played back to the city of Berlin as well, which had been proud of this as well. But the main task is to still educate all the citizens and everything what is in the city about the possibility to have its own identity here. And especially in Berlin, you know all the history of Berlin. We became reunited in 89, and we see that city top-level domain as a real project of a reunited city. And this makes us very proud as well on this particular aspect.
Thank you, Dirk. If you'd like to share your perspective with the audience here, please step up to one of the microphones. Meanwhile, I actually wanted to pose a question to the panel that has been asked of me and has been somewhat lingering in my own head. And I think Jordan here touched on some perspective on it. The question that's been asked of me, and I don't have a good articulation of an answer for it, is with the people anymore using apps and mobile devices and search to want to get to one place, from one place to another in the digital, you know, environment, does having a different TLD matter anymore? The people's utility of these services are changing because of the coming of apps and proliferation of apps and mobile devices. How is it going to impact the new GTLD program? Anybody?
Well, perhaps if I can sort of go first. I work in digital marketing, so my job is to build websites and apps and look after social media accounts. I think absolutely, yes, there is a role for TTLDs in the consideration of authenticity and brand identification in terms of clear addressing on the internet. The internet has continued to grow and expand and diversify into a very rich ecosystem of different types of channels and technologies. And some of that can be a little bit confusing, and you've seen with that an attendant rise in cybercrime. Part of the fundamental thing with cybercrime is a lot of it's to do with false association and sort of traffic redirection. So in that sense, that the clear, authentic, trusted signpost via a brand GTLD will clearly act as a positive thing for the public at large.
Anybody else?
Yeah. I'll weigh in. I think, sorry, so this gets exactly back to the point I made earlier, which is we need to reshape the way we use domains to make them inherently, you know, if we think about those concepts I talked about earlier, readable, memorable, meaningful, there's always the circumstance where you're driving down the highway, you see a sign, or someone tells you, like, oh, don't you want to find, you know, I just saw this amazing, cool website, or, you know, I have this document that I want to get you to. And what domains do is they're the offline to online bridge, right? Like, that's what they do. If all we care about is we're already online, then hyperlinks work fine, right? Like, if you're already on a web page, you just need to click a link, then you don't need a fancy domain name in order to accomplish that. You can just use IP addresses, for that matter, because the computers are great at talking to each other, regardless of what the identifiers are. The question is, what happens when you're offline and you want to start with some piece of information and get to the eventual content that you want to get to? And I think domain names can play a really critical role there, and new TLDs in particular, by creating these more memorable, more meaningful, more readable spaces. And so if you could drive past and see something that's maybe only 10 characters long, you know, in the example I gave earlier, if you knew that you could go to any company's name .jobs and you would always get to their job listings, or if you went to any company's domain name .soy, you would always get to their page for U.S. Hispanics, then you don't need a lot of these other tools that you're talking about people using. You get one click closer, or, you know, not, and that's only if the search engine works right that it brings you there. I do think that, you know, there's apps are definitely changing the way people use the internet, but apps are good for sort of long-term relationships. My bank, it's fine for me to have an app with my bank. I go to the same bank all the time, and it makes perfect sense that I would use an app to access their content instead of going to the website every time and needing to log in again and so on. But if I'm just looking for information for the restaurant that I just passed or something like that, I want to see their menu. Being able to type in restaurant name, you know, that menu or something like that, is a lot more convenient than downloading their app. I'm not going to download their app in order to do that. And so domain names provide a really great mechanism to provide fast, casual access to information as opposed to these deep embedded relationships that apps are good at providing.
Thank you, Jordan. Good.
To even go a level higher than Jordan did, we all love names, and it's about names here. We give from our first word we say in our mankind, we give things a name. It's somehow hard-coded that we use names and love to give names to other persons, other things, everything, and websites too. And names, we invented these names here within ICANN and the DNS, and we love to do this. So I don't think they go away, because if you have a better idea how to name things than having domain names in a digital area, then come up. That might be a really great thing, but I expect that we stay with these names like we stay with our first name and second name.
Thank you. Sophie, did you have anything you want to say?
I think to these questions, I think also in this social network information exposure in this era, I think there's a lot of communications through the digital marketing and digital channel, and I do think names matters because it's a human creation, and it's in the human cultures that the name always directing into something that's meaningful. As long as the communication is going on between people, I think names always matters. Yeah.
Good, thank you. I'd like to invite the audience actually to start participating. You can share a perspective if you have a comment, if you have a question, if you want to challenge something, please step up. I really want to make this interactive that way as well instead of this way. So, anybody? Where's Amadeo? Come on. I think they need to warm up more. All right. Well, I'm going to go back to something that David said in terms of the authenticity. And I'd like to challenge, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, the assumption that, you know, some type of I think you said digital seal that will go into a brand's webpage that would, I guess, ascertain the authenticity of it. Why can't it be done in a different TLD, a generic TLD, sort of like what we have today?
Well, the answer to that's very simple. You own that registry, TLD, and you can do with it what you want. Currently today, all brands have a arm's length contractual relationship with their domain. So you have many businesses now which are purely internet-centric, and many, many other businesses are really examining digital-centric, the impact of digital technologies on their processes, their business models. And today, you know, there's some of those businesses worth millions and billions of dollars, and yet it's all hanging on a domain. It's sort of $7-$10 that you went and registered through a registrar. You know, so that's it provides a lot more certainty for brands to actually own that registry system and begin the sort of have that control, but also that platform for innovation. You know, just in that, if you look at some of the areas of a CXO concern, whether it's customer revenue growth, driving operational effectiveness, technology change, there are many different ways that a GTLD registry can support all of those different areas. So it could be innovation in the digital delivery of customer services. It could support the shift to a more internet-centric business processes and model, etc. So there's lots and lots of strategic, technical, and operational advantages to owning your GTLD registry that simply do not exist with the current arm's length relationship on a $10 domain name.
So you're right that, of course, that there's various sort of seal programs or authenticity programs that are already attempted on the web. Like sometimes you'll see people, you know, WebTrust is a good example of a service that provides, you know, after you go through their certification process, you can get like a thing that you put on your website. But it's relatively easy to forge those things, and then then you sort of rely on things like, you know, trademark and contracts and so on in order to go in and tell people to stop using potentially your intellectual property or claiming that you're certified. You know, even like the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval, which is famous in U.S., it might be used for this. There's nothing stopping anyone other than the fear of being sued by these people from like sticking that on their product. When you talk about doing this in the context of a TLD instead, if you know that you're always looking for that ending, it's enforceable. No one can get one of these domain names unless they've already gone through that process. So the consumer can have even a higher degree of confidence that authenticity or that sort of seal is embedded into the experience. The other thing I'll say that's really interesting along these lines is, I don't know if people have seen the news that Apple's changing the way Safari shows URLs. And they're going to only show the domain name part of the URL in the next version of Safari. So everything after the slash is gone. And so when you think about like how you're conveying information in the URL, now you've got to do it in the domain name as opposed to beyond that. So in theory, in the past, maybe you could have like had a website, you know, with a brand and then slash a particular dealer name or something like that, or slash watches or something. Now you've got to do that in the domain name itself, and so it's a really fortuitous timing relative to where we are in the new TLD program, because now we have a platform in order to change the way people are looking at domain names.
Thank you very much. I still don't see anyone stepping up to the microphone here. So I'm gonna go back to and touch on something that David actually mentioned earlier, which I think is very profound, and I'm sure a lot of you have already thought about it, that with the coming of the new GTLD program, the new GTLDs, I should say, the composition of the domain name industry is changing profoundly, really, whereas in the past it's pretty much been about selling domains and people in the business of trading and selling and acquiring domain names have been the dominant players in it. I think the commercial aspects of it are going to change with, you know, again, going from 22 generic top-level domains to hundreds and hundreds, and then the brands becoming a substantial part of it, and as David mentioned, having a fairly serious and significant set of requirements that are different than what perhaps traditionally we've come to know. Maybe we can touch on this a little bit and peel back a little more. on what are some of the opportunities that are going to be created for people who are in the domain name industry, given that the landscape is shifting. David?
Well, the old maxim is in change lies opportunity. And I think that those domain name industry actors across the full chain, whether that's registry service providers, resellers, or providers of services, they've got a fantastic opportunity here to really begin to support those closed brand applicants in developing services that are going to sit as an extra layer on top of the core GTLD registry infrastructure. And if the registry service providers et al. Don't do that today, they will certainly be displaced by startups and technology giants who will move into this space, particularly sort of with round two when the confidently predict that there are going to be thousands of brands applying in the second round. The process has been ironed out. It's very clear. The penny has dropped in terms of the strategical advantages of having this critical aspect of internet infrastructure. That in itself will just create a massive market for additional services that are going to sit as a layer on top of those registries. So in many ways, registry service providers are going to need to really seriously look at developing consulting arm of their business to assist with implementation and development, but also develop new software as a service and take that to market as such. So we will see a stratification of that as an industry between people who choose between different business models.
I think what I've seen in a developing country like China and also some of the country in Asia, there's a trend of integrated registry service provider business in there. Of course, we know that intellectual property protections in the developed world is already quite comprehensive and mature. But the developing country, I think, in the past, people are not really... the intellectual property sense is not very as strong as in the developed world. So as right now that also in Asia country, we have a lot of e-commerce business become a really big part of the GDP. And now the online protection, the brand protections become a hot topic right now also in this developing world. So we necessarily, of course, new GTLD will be ultimate solution. That's how we see it for some of these enterprises and brands to incorporate in order to make the digital marketing much more effective and also become their a good part of the resolution for protecting their brands. Also, we see that that for the registry services and focusing on the brand protection perspective is also important and also vital for them to gain more enterprises service, customers and it becomes much more. I would say that before that, the pieces are falling apart, and registrars not always have the consensus of a brand protection. But now, if you streamline the process, and that we can provide our brand enterprise much more values in the area.
I think as we are with the new GTLDs, really getting up in the number of TLDs and the spread of TLDs around the globe and to every household, I think as this relatively new industry, we can learn a lot from other industries like the retail industry or something like this. In particular, if you see when you register a domain name and it's still for many new people registering a domain name is a worse experience registering a domain name, going through everything at the end of the day, getting this email where you need to confirm your identity and something like this, which was coming new. So making domain name registrations as easy as opening a Facebook profile or something like this. I think there are a lot of opportunities for registrars, registries, intermediates to create services, better services, which have already been established in other industries. I think we can learn and make our better industry better.
So, Cyrus, I look beyond the domain industry and think, like, domains are infrastructure. They are pointers to help us get to content that the user is actually trying to get to. And we can make that faster, we can make that easier, we can make it more secure. But if you think about who this is really going to help, our industry is very small compared to, you know, that online industry that's starting to be, like, large percents of GDP, like, the domain name industry is always going to be a small facet of that. But then, you know, to take your question to its logical extent, is like, how is this going to help other people? How do we look to enable other businesses that want to get online, do their jobs more effectively? So yeah, the notion of being able to register domain names faster is great. But think about how developers should, you know, I mentioned at the end of my initial talk about how we can think about combining domain names with functionality. So what about developers thinking about that? You know, every particular TLD and like .photography TLD, you know, maybe there's some developer can go out and build an app that bundles into that and automatically provides some awesome photo experience or something like that. There's opportunities to build new technology alongside and in conjunction with the domain name. The second thing I'll say on this is that the... if you think about mobile, which is something else that you brought up earlier, I don't think we even understand today where domain names fit into a truly mobile ecosystem. I think, you know, it's very easy to think about, like, how domain names interact for those of us here in this room who are all what I call desktop natives. We all grew up using computers first, and then we got these mobile devices and we used them secondarily. But if you look at where the growth in the internet is going to be in the next decade, if you look at the next 2 billion users of the internet, those people are going to be people who grew up using their mobile device first, and maybe eventually they get access to a desktop or a laptop computer, but probably not. And their interaction with the domain name ecosystem is going to be fundamentally different. And so as we start to think about, like, what those opportunities are, you know, what are you doing if you're on your mobile device? If you're, what is your web presence or your domain presence look like if you have a mobile device? Maybe you're just taking a photo of the menu of your shop every day, and so you need, the mobile experience is, you know, you have a domain name, and all that domain name does is, like, show the latest photo of the menu that you've taken or something. There's all sorts of opportunities to be building technology that's linking domain names to this, to the new mobile experience that I think can be incredibly powerful. So that's where we should be looking for the real opportunities here. They're not for us in this industry. They're how can this industry enable the rest of technology and the rest of the online experience to evolve.
Thank you, Jordan. So you're saying what I hear is that in addition to the existing ecosystem for serving the domain name industry, the ripple effect of it is even going to be more profound and more impactful. Very good. We actually have a member of our audience.
Hi, my name is Pieter-Jan van Leempet. I'm a journalist from Belgium for the Belgium IT magazine Data News. I have a question for the gentleman from the .Berlin registry. Sorry, I didn't catch your name in the beginning. Could you elaborate a little bit more about what kind of businesses are registering at .Berlin? Are there just businesses within Berlin or operating specifically to a Berlin-based audience? What are the questions you're getting? Are there new, we talked about there will be new business cases. What do you see already those kind of business cases for specifically .Berlin? Could you, my main question is, how is it going these days? You just launched, what should other people expect? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. That's quite interesting. We did some analysis already of the first 50,000 names which had been registered, and we came up with the conclusion that most of the names are registered by small businesses. I can't say small and medium enterprises, because the businesses which are behind the domain names, I would say 40 or 50% of all domain names have been registered by self-employed people or small companies, a craftsman, a painter, a texter, a journalist, or something like this, which has the business has 1, 2, 3, up to 5 people employed, and this is really the target group of the Berlin domain name, which has registered then, and the first projects that came up here have been. What we saw after a very few days were blogs, Pinterest-like websites, and something like this, which you can instantly set up with a new domain name, which you never know when the TLD starts if your wish name is still free and you get it. So, but if you get it, you can set up with WordPress or other things a website very quickly. And these projects were the first project anticipated. Berlin, and we had, interestingly, because we didn't have so many beacon projects, projects just popped up, and we were amazed, for the FIFA World Championship at the moment, we have one stadium, in this stadium, all the people brought their sofas into the stadium, and the stadium is now full of sofas, and they are looking the championship on a big screen, sitting on a sofa in a stadium. That's great, and they were using this as one of the first very public names on posters and everything in all media and so on. We didn't initiate this, and I love these ideas popping up which haven't been initiated by us here.
Thank you. Thank you. Michael?
Hi, Cyrus.
You introduce yourself.
Michael Palage. And this question, Cyrus, is actually directed to you. When we were here in Jordan talk about the fourth category of TLDs where we're talking about innovation or functionality, I think that this is one of the more interesting classes. My only concern, however, is with regard to a contractual provision in the new registry agreements where our steps need to be self-funded by the registry operator. So if you look at the legacy GTLDs, the 22 operators under their agreements, the R steps were provided for free. All new GTLD operators have to pay for R steps. Now, if you look at the four, I think there was 3 R steps that have been filed. There was the travel wildcard, there was the PIR, IDN, and then there was the 2-character. Those R steps averaged between $70,000 and $100,000. So while we hear about innovation and $70,000 to $100,000 is probably not a lot for Google, but some of the new registry operators, that's not an insignificant amount. So I guess my question or challenge to ICANN is, as you look at the proceeds from your first auction, could you perhaps look at allocating some of those monies to self-fund the RCEPs to allow the, if you will, innovation that is talked about in the fourth category of TLDs that Jordan referenced?
All right, Michael, thank you. I was supposed to be asking the questions, not answering them, but your point is well taken. No,
Amadeo wasn't here, so I just had to fill in for him.
Sure, of course. But since this is somewhat tangential to the topics that we want to discuss, I'll be happy to actually stay after this panel and talk to you about it. It's a very good suggestion. In fact, within staff, we're very mindful of the expenses of any RSTEP request that comes in. And we handle it with an extreme amount of care in terms of the burden that it might cause. But let's not deviate. I think we're actually getting into a good discussion of sort of the vision of the new for the new world. Don't want to deviate from that. Any other participants? Any other perspectives? Anybody else wants to share? I don't see anyone at the microphone. I wanted to circle back with Sophia on. One of the things that you mentioned in terms of the challenges that you're facing, among others, was the what you call the universal acceptance of a TLD, and I'm actually painfully aware of that situation myself. But I wanted to sort of put that on the table from a business impact and sort of the one of the components that the success of I think this whole new GTLD program depends on, not only from a generic Latin-based TLDs, but also the other IDN types of scripts. Tell us what you see, and in fact, I'd like to hear from the other panelists here as well, what you think about the fact that conceivably many softwares and systems out there are not capable of handling, you know, the types of new GTLDs that are being put in place in various aspects, from email to, I don't know, some router and such. Let's start with Sophia, perhaps.
Yes. So what I mentioned before, the universal acceptance issues would be, I think for IDNs, it's quite obvious that it was, the IDN was not the mainstream IDN TLD was not a mainstream TLD that people used before. I think in the market, I think most of the internet users not even aware of the existence of IDN TLDs that is available. I think it's also because of lack of market educations, and also the consumer user behaviors are not easy to change once it's already formulated. So I think to solve these issues, from my perspective, would be a better market education and outreach from ICONS, from or from the registries and from internet society, to let people know that this is actually the IDN is exist and have a lot of varieties which could serve for general public. A second acceptance issue would be the browser capacity. Right now, we know that, for example, if we allocated the NIC.REN as our first second level domains for the registry, and we told one of the executives that this exists, and they're trying to type in the browsers and get access to the main the websites for the registries, and it was not successful. So that's just one example that very common internet users that were faced when they know that there's a TLD is launched, but when they have the second level domain names, they're not able to use it, access to the website. So this is something that probably will take some time to solve, and also take a local organization to helping to solve in the technical side and also in infrastructure side. So that's something I think would be more the bottleneck for the TLD to be acceptance in the market. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, this is obviously a complicated process. Google obviously comes in on both sides of this, right? On the one hand, we have a bunch of new TLDs. We're keenly interested in getting these things working. At the same time, we have a lot of products, and we have a lot of developers. Some developers have better ideas than others about the code they should write in order to validate whether something's actually a valid domain name or not. And if you look out on the internet, like on Stack Overflow and so on, you'll see a lot of ideas of various levels of quality in terms of how to deal with IDN acceptance. So it's going to require a lot of time and a lot of effort just finding individual instances, you know, within one company and then beyond that company in order to find all the spots where we need to make these things work. But they're not insurmountable problems. They're often very small fixes in the case of just simple domain name validation. IDNs are a much more complicated problem. Unfortunately, the way the IDNA protocol was developed, it pushes all of the pain to the edge, so to individual application developers, instead of making any fundamental changes to the way DNS works. And that means it's inherently going to be a slow, iterative process, having everyone on the edge of, you know, writing an application, having to have libraries or do work in order to say, hey, this thing starts with XN dash dash. That means I'm not going to show the normal, you know, the ASCII representation. I need to do an on-the-fly conversion to its native format. We're doing a few things that I'll mention just as a heads up, because we want to be leaders here and we want to work with folks. One thing just to announce is, announce is probably not the right word, I don't want to steal their thunder, but just so people know, Gmail is going to be fully EAI compliant, I think by the end of this month. So you'll be able to send and receive emails to IDN at IDN.IDN addresses in Gmail. I don't think there's any other major internet, like email platform of any sort, much less hosted, that supports that. We'll need to get a lot of other platforms supporting it as well in order to allow people to email back and forth. But, you know, that's one first step. The other is, because the talk I mentioned that our CIO is giving on Wednesday, is at Google I.O., which is our developer conference, a good chunk of that talk is actually going to be devoted to talking to developers about how to make sure that their applications work with new TLDs. There's going to be some more sort of content there that I think is exciting, but I certainly encourage folks to tune in because I think we have some exciting announcements there as well.
Just one very quick comment from myself. Like many other closed brands, we will have a phased deployment of the gTLD registry, initially for web addressing, simply because email ID and authentication is used for access to a whole range of enterprise systems. So you have to ensure compatibility from all of those sort of enterprise software applications built in-house in terms of verification of the gTLD first. So, you know, there's technical, logistical challenges still to be faced, but I do think that's going to be just a take time.
Thank you. In fact, I think actually the whole issue of universal acceptance of TLDs is something that's probably one of the most underappreciated challenges that our community faces. And I wanted to remind everyone that on Tuesday, actually, we have a session dedicated to universal acceptance on Wednesday. Thank you. It's on Wednesday, actually, so please come participate. We just posted, actually, a proposed roadmap, Weeby and ICANN, for comments and feedback and input from the community in getting that project going. So we have someone from the audience, please, sir.
Hello, my name is Daniels from .se. I have a question for .Berlin. When I look at the statistics, and I don't know if it's true, but the largest registrar seems to have nearly 60%. And it's an American company called Domain Robot. And you have a couple of registrants that have a lot of domain names. So my question is that true? And is there a risk for speculation in .Berlin? And is there a risk that all the small shop owners in Berlin will get a telephone call asking them to register the domain name? And how do you see the risk for reputation there?
Okay, good question. Thank you very much. To my knowledge, the registrar's distribution in Berlin is that we have three major registrars, which have, all from Germany, obviously, which have 70% of the market share. In the last day, that shifted a bit. And we have two domain owners, which have a lot of names registered in the last week. So there's a distortion we see in the market, but on the other side, we see all the names that have been registered last week.
I looked at ntldstats.com, if somebody...
I know, ntldstats. And all the names have been registered last week. I think they give us a glimpse what is in a namespace for a city domain name, and we have still in Germany we have 16 million .de domain names. I ask myself every day what's in it, and if you look into their names, every single name makes some sense. And in Berlin we have at the moment 140,000, and I think there's still enough potential for up to a million domain names, which could be in the Berlin namespace. So I think there's enough space for everybody to find a good domain name here. So yes, there might be speculation in that name, but if in a namespace like Berlin, but if you have a TLD where it's no speculation, which is not interesting for investors in the virtual names we have here, I think it's not going to be successful at the end of the day. So speculation is a part. You can't say you don't want to. It's a part of our business, and we have to cope with it. It shouldn't distort the market or unbalance the market too much. But it will be there. It's in all the gTLDs and yeah.
Thank you, Dirk. Thank you, Danny. So we're actually approaching the end of our scheduled time. Oh, please, yes, sir.
from .rs, Serbian registry, and I have a question for Mr. David Green. You stressed twice in your video the correlation between new GTLDs and Internet of Things. Could you be more specific? Because the way I understood you, let's say I have an air conditioner, and I want to, today, I set the time when I want it on. But let's say there is a rush on Serbian version of M5, and I'm 2 hours late. Why should it burn for 2 hours? I would like to turn it on from my cell phone. Thanks to the IPv6 addresses, we can have all the billions of devices uniquely named. Yep. Did I get you right that you mean that a company, a brand name, let's say a .dot Westinghouse, will have a significant market advantage because it will have its own GTLD and yes. specific address of each and every device produced by Westinghouse?
Yes. So
was that what you were trying to say?
So there are essentially three major trends on the internet right now: mobile, social, and Internet of Things. And with mobile, that's not just smartphones, it's actually wearable devices, and the forecast is 10 billion mobile devices by the end of this decade. With regards to Internet of Things, essentially every object can have its IP6 is going to give it a unique number, a unique identifier, but for that object or that thing to communicate back to a central server in terms of secure access to information, updating of software, delivery of digital services, there has to be some kind of authentication and verification to ensure that sort of security and it's legitimate. And that's where a GTLD registry kicks in. Because, for example, if you are the operator of a GTLD registry, you can insert as many millions of unique code numbers that you want and put that code number into each product. And as that product then has its own IP6 address, but if it wants to communicate to the central web servers for those things I've articulated, it's going to have to be verified and authenticated, and that's what a GTLD registry domain code would do.
Okay, thank you very much. So there will be new, very many new ideas for cyber crimes. And cyber hackers.
Brands which operate their own GTLD registry will have that sort of technical and operational advantage, which is ultimately a strategic advantage, and that they have this extra layer of cyber security that they can embed into their business operations. A very simple example would be DDoS, denial of service. Typically, that's a shield put on at the web server where the website is hosted. Now, with brand registries, so when we move to home.kpmg is the website. Not only do you have DDoS at the web server, you have DDoS at the domain GTLD registry at the world root of the internet. So you have two layers of protection, and any attack would hit the world zone files at the world root of the internet first. So there's that layer of defense, and hopefully that should hold. But if not, you've got time and a trigger sent back to the web server for the DDoS defenses at that layer also. So that's just one example of enhanced cybersecurity.
Hi, my name is Kelly Campbell. I'm representing the .ca registry for Canada. This is a question for Dirks. Mr. Berlin, you've just concluded a period in which you gave away .Berlin domain names. Do you think that will have an impact on the brand of your product, and if so, how?
For any brand, it's important to be known by people, and the domain discount we gave last week led to a much better knowledge. It also made it to the press in Berlin, and a lot of people became more aware of the domain name and the owners of that domain name, which have a current domain name. They feel if you see your domain name, which you purchased, and it's in the press, you see it's good. So people are using this, and we need to get some momentum to the average Berliner, showing him the value of a domain name, of the Berlin domain name, what it gives to him, like a good position at Google or other benefits, or a short name for communication. There are different motivations behind this. And for this reason, a discount promotion we gave last week is a good chance to make your TLD more known in the community. It doesn't make it to New York or Tokyo or something like this. We from the domain name industry recognize this, but the average people in a town, for them it's fine, but it's a local effect which we have, and we are a local community in Berlin and have a very targeted marketing to this local community. So that activity was good for us. It was good for the namespace to make it more visible to all.
And do you see any impact? Have you done any forecasting a year from now what your renewal rate may be?
Yeah, we will see in 12 months how many domain names are. It's in every TLD after 12 months that people look how many domain names are renewed. And the more value is in the TLD, the more visible and public and so on it is, just the more likely it is that domain names are prolonged. We hope that we have a like .com or so, 75% renewal rate. That would be really great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Oh, from the gentleman who asked me the other question, the registrar you were referring to is a German registrar with a US accreditation. So it's a purely German registrar. So the four biggest registrars in Berlin having 80% of the market are just German registrars which register domain names.
Hi there. I'm Ruben. I'm a general internet user. And my question is for the gentleman from Google. I've forgotten your name, sorry. I've got a Google account. I'm a bit of a fanboy. I've got a Nexus here. It's pretty good. I can do a lot with it, and I use a lot of Google's valuable services. But I also appreciate the smaller players and the smaller companies, which can offer me new and exciting services. Now, Google has applied for a load of new strings, but also has Amazon and also the smaller players as well. .music is an example, .app or apps is also another example. The resources available to Google are huge, and I understand that that's a good thing for developing out these strings. But also, I remember a couple of years ago, I was just on Twitter, and I saw the .music string was getting quite popular. There was a company out to try and register the .music string. And I thought, oh, this is great. This has got a good following, good community behind it. I'm curious, and I'm slightly, I don't know if concerned is the word, but I just want to know that should I trust the big players that are registering these generic strings, which, you know, they are generic words. I suppose, should I be concerned about that?
Hopefully not. I think that, one thing that you have to look at is not just, you know, who's applying, but you know, how are they proposing to use it, and, you know, what's their track record? Do you trust them based on things that they've told you in the past, and so on? Certainly in the case, in a lot of cases, we've applied for a lot of TLDs of all different sorts. We've applied for TLDs that are, you know, just our brands, you know, Google, Gmail, YouTube. We've applied for TLDs on the other extreme that we think are just, they're open spaces that anyone can do whatever they want, you know, so like .lol, we've applied for that. We're not going to enforce that you have to be funny, but we'd like it if you were. But it's up. Anyone can register that, and they can use it however they want. And then there's this, you know, there's this large amount of territory in the middle where you could imagine, you know, either linking it, you know, if it's a very obvious name like .hangout, you know, that might be linked directly to a product like Google Hangout. But something like music, the way we've described it in our application is that it's limited to licensed content owners. And so anyone can register in it as long as they have the rights to license, you know, to actually have the content. And that actually provides, I think, a really powerful opportunity. So, you know, often you want to go buy music or listen to music, and you want to do it without, you know, having to go to BitTorrent or something, but you're not quite sure where to go. And I think the idea of, like, having a space where you'd be confident that you're actually going to get to license music, I think is an interesting idea that we'd like to see developed on the internet. And you're absolutely right; other people have applied too. ICANN has a process to work through that process. I think for music, there's two different applicants that are what ICANN calls community applicants, which means that they assert that they represent the worldwide music community. And if they can prove to ICANN that that's the case, then they actually have priority. They would beat us out automatically without going to an auction or anything like that. So I think there's a place for all sorts of applicants to come together and look at, test new ideas, and hopefully, you know, we'll get some TLDs and test some things out. Some small people have already won their applications. They'll be trying things out. And I think if you trust the company based on its past track record, hopefully you can trust it here as well.
Cool. Cheers, man.
Very good. We're pretty much out of time. But in closing, if I could have you stay for two more minutes, I wanted to sort of challenge my panelists here to spend in 30 seconds or less to share with the audience if you have any words of wisdom. All of you have been in this process for a long time. We have some new participants. Some of you have been contracted, delegated. In 30 seconds or less, what words of wisdom would you like to share? Jordan?
I wasn't ready for this one. So I think the most important thing is if you're a new TLD applicant and you haven't launched yet, you're thinking of what to do, think of those three concepts I talked about earlier: readable, meaningful, and memorable. How can you make your domain serve that purpose and help people with that offline to online bridge? Sometimes it's good enough just to throw the name out there and let people figure out what to do with it, but I think a lot of us are going to have to do work in order to make sure people understand what they are, how they work, and how to make them meaningful. So I think if you do that, you're a lot more likely to be successful.
Well, wisdom is a matter of perspective. Essentially, I'd say that confine my remarks to primarily to brands, and that that this is a medium to long-term strategic play. The ICANN process has been unfolding over a number of years, so it's very important in terms of internal stakeholder engagement that is really reinforced, that it's a medium to long-term strategic play in terms of your overall enterprise infrastructure. So that's it.
As we have written a lot of applications for brands as well, I'm really looking forward what the brands are doing with their gTLDs in the upcoming months and years from now on. And I think that will give a really big public bang that the people all over the world see a lot of brands. And in our TLDs now, as I'm a chemist from education, we have a saying: from nothing, nothing happens. And what I see in many, many of the new gTLDs now on the market, they don't invest any money in marketing, any efforts in marketing, and it's no wonder that nothing happens in the registration. So you can't rely only on the registrars. You need to make marketing in your target group on your own, and then the TLD can be successful.
Yes, I completely agree with Dirk about the marketing activity that you've taken to make the TLD more successful. And for me, I think regarding for brand TLDs, I'm looking forward for the second round, also for the brand TLDs to have a big exposure in Asia. Because one advice I would give to the potential brand TLDs applicant would be move faster, because when you don't hesitate to do that, and there will be consequences, and we see in the first round that some of these brands in China, and their names doesn't have many meanings in Chinese, in English, but it's an abbreviation. However, there will be contentions that they don't even have a chance to be in contention with others, and they just lose the chance to have their own brand TLDs. So also the brand TLD also need to cooperate with their corporate strategy for the e-commerce, and also for the future when they're involved in the more international technology. When you choose a TLD, you also need to combine with your corporate strategy in order to choose the right name. And second, for the generic names, to able to make your brand generic names more successful, you need to really think carefully about differentiation of the TLDs in the market. The marketing approach need to be combined with your existing channel powered, and that will make you easier able to access to the more users and more customers that would be able to purchase your second domain name. So there will be some advice for the generic ones. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This brings our session to an end. I hope you found this discussion useful, beneficial to you. I know, as I said before, it's a slight departure from our traditional types of sessions we've had. So would love to hear your feedback. If there are parts of it that you liked, if you have ideas for improvement, please, please let us know. If we should continue to do this sort of sessions at ICANN conferences, let us know. If not, also let us know. I want to thank my panelists for spending the time being up here and all of you for participating in our panel. Thank you so much.